right now, we want to talk about technology because, you know, the Palm Pilot's a big thing in Andrea's life.
Oh, I just saved it for posterity. That and the old BlackBerry.
Yeah. But, you know, the big Consumer Electronics Show is about to launch in Las Vegas. And it's massive. It's huge every year. And Tim Stevens, CNET editor-at-large and roadshow editor-in-chief, is going to join us. This is his 10th CES, and he is live in Vegas, and we're going to get some updates and some great technology and a lot of car-related technology this year. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. My pleasure. So you've been covering this for about 10 years. Were you always a tech geek when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was always a tech geek, and I was always a car geek, so this is kind of like the holy place for me to come every year. There's lots of great car technology and lots of great gadgets and all sorts of other great technology here, so it's a good place to come.
So CNET.com, but tell me about Roadshow. Tell me how that covers. I mean, you were just saying that you know, you're into technology, you're into cars, and this covers both of those things.
Right, so Roadshow, we're basically spinning off our automotive coverage. We've been doing car reviews and things like that for about 10 years now, but we want to make that more of a focus. So we're launching this new site called Roadshow, which is basically where we're going to be putting together all of our car reviews with lots of high-quality video. We're going to be doing lots of comparison tests, lots of buyer's guides, and lots of interesting features diving deep into the technology of cars, what's going on in Detroit that you don't necessarily see, all the self-driving car research and things like that, and basically bring it all together in one home that car enthusiasts and tech enthusiasts can come and enjoy, hopefully.
That's great. And you are the editor-in-chief there.
That's right. Yeah, we're launching in just a couple of days. The Detroit Auto Show comes up next week. We're going to be there in a big way. And that's when we pull the trigger and put the new sign up.
The Detroit Auto Show, obviously, is probably the biggest one of the year, you know, in all the cities, because obviously it's Detroit, correct?
Right, yeah.
And what are you looking forward to?
It's definitely the biggest one.
What are you looking forward to? At the CES, they're talking about the connected car. For some people who don't know what the connected car is, explain what that is and some of the technology involved.
Connected cars are a pretty big thing these days. If you haven't gone to the dealership and looked at cars in a long time, you might be surprised to find out how much technology is in the car and how much connected technology is in the car. A lot of cars these days have modems built in, so just like your phone can pull down data from the internet, your car can too. In fact, pretty much every new General Motors car that you buy, every Chevy, every Cadillac, has an active connection so that your car can actually be a hotspot, and you can even power your tablet and your smartphone from the backseat of the car. But interestingly, cars are using this data to do things like streaming media, to get traffic updates, weather updates, even to report issues in the car back to the dealership and to schedule an appointment for you. There's a lot of different things that this technology can do, and really car manufacturers are just starting to figure out exactly what they can do with this technology. And so it's always cool to come here and see some interesting new applications of that.
Are there certain car companies that are ahead of the curve on this technology that are doing it better and faster than most other companies?
Here in the U.S., it's definitely GM. They've been the first to really put an active data connection in just about every car that they make, even lower-cost cars like the new Chevy Malibu. They built a lot of technology in there where you can, for example, monitor your kids' driving. You can set alerts and warnings and give your kids a special key. So if they're driving badly, if they're wandering out of the lane, if they're doing panic stops, you as the parent can basically get notifications and check up on them. And that's in the Malibu, which is one of their lower-cost cars. But we've certainly seen a lot of great technology coming from the European manufacturers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
BMW and Audi are doing a lot of autonomous research, too.
I'm sure the kids are thrilled.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I can kind of see both sides of the equation on that one. Yeah. You know, for a parent, it's great, of course, because you got to worry about your kids. But as a kid, yeah, it's like mom's always in the backseat, which is not fun.
That's great, though. It's great stuff. Okay, Tim, hang on, all right? Thanks, Mary. Tim Stevens is with us, CNET editor-at-large and Roadshow editor-in-chief. Roadshow is going to be kicking off just next week, coinciding with the Detroit Auto Show. We were talking a little bit about connected car and new technology. Tim, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Andrea Darlis is here, and she has a very important question about some new technology.
Tim, have to ask you, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask on behalf of women everywhere about the new smart bra that they've unveiled.
Well, there are a lot of different smart devices at the show that have to deal with your health, basically, and things that can check everything from your posture to your pulse, your body temperature. And there are a lot of smart wearable devices that deal with fitness, of course. And this is one of those devices where basically you can put it on. It can monitor your heart rate for you. So if you're out there running or cycling, perhaps, it'll track your heart rate for you. And basically, it'll feedback data to your smartphone and help you to keep track of how many calories you burn, how much workout you've been doing, and you know, basically help you to be healthy without having to wear a separate heart rate monitor or anything like that. So we're seeing, you know, these devices get integrated into your clothing and make it so that you have one fewer thing to put on in the morning or if you're heading to the gym.
For me, that's perfect because I tried to get a Fitbit, and I don't usually wear a watch. I mean, I don't like a watch or the Fitbit. I felt kind of confined with it. But, yeah, like Tim said, they're doing this a lot now. So for women, they're going to start putting this kind of in your bra. That way, you know, it monitors your heart rate and everything like that.
You don't have to wear anything extra.
Yeah, and it's like $100 or $150
now,
bucks. So.
Okay, here's the question, though, that I have. And this is, Andrea, this is for you. Now, does the technology come within the bra, or do you buy the technology and put it in the bras that you already have?
I think you buy the technology, right, Tim, and then you put it in the bras that you have. Or maybe it's the bra itself.
This is actually a different bra that you would have to buy that has a device that clips into it. So we're seeing that that's generally the way that these things are going. Under Armour is also launching some, has similar technology built into them. So it would be a special piece of clothing and then a special device that clips into it. So, you know, they want to get as much profit as they can.
I would guess that the device that you clip into the bra would sell better because, you know, women are very particular about their
bras. Yeah, you change colors depending
on
what
you wear. But it's just not that. You're right. But it's also like, I mean, my second ex-wife was very particular about her bras.
Right.
She was kind of well endowed, so she was always like, man, this doesn't fit. So if you buy this bra that already has the technology in it, it's, you know.
Well, then, of course, okay, so then that's the grab, too, no pun intended.
Hello.
Because, no, that's so then you buy the black and then the white and then the beige color to the pink, whatever. So you have to kind of buy the whole set. But I think it's great, you know, if you don't want to have to wear
it. I thought the smart bra was going to be like, this thing's not coming off because this guy's not a good date.
Or I thought it would kind of give you a little extra boost if needed.
There'd be like a warning sign, no! So tell me, but now leading into that, this technology, the fitness trackers, all these things, this wearable technology that we were just talking about. Let's talk a little bit about this big thing that seems to be brewing here, the Samsung smart fridge. Now, what? Tell me about a smart fridge, because to me, a smart fridge keeps things cold.
That's definitely a very vital feature from any refrigerator, and also doing so and not breaking in the middle of the night is a very vital thing, too. But Samsung, you know, they make all sorts of things. They make everything from tablets to smartphones to computers to smart vacuum cleaners, even. And they wanted to just try to bring all that stuff together into one product, and they figured, well, what's kind of the centerpiece of your kitchen? Most people would probably say the oven, but since Samsung doesn't make ovens, we'll say it's the refrigerator. So what they did was they basically put a 21-inch tablet into the front of the refrigerator on the right door there. This is an Android-powered tablet, so you can do everything from surf the web, pull up recipes, basically do all the things that you would do on a tablet. You can also track what you need to get groceries, basically. That can even tie into Whole Foods, so you can actually order groceries directly from the fridge. So that's pretty cool, but that's not exactly the first time we've seen that kind of thing. Samsung's actually done that before. But what's even more cool is there's actually cameras built inside of the refrigerator. So if you're at the grocery store and you say, man, I can't remember if we have any milk, you can actually pull up this camera and you can see what's in there. You can see, you know, how many bananas you have left. You can see how much milk you have left. You can really see exactly what you need, and you can make that decision of whether you should bring more home. It's pretty cool. It's an interesting idea. You know, it's basically, again, Samsung bringing together a lot of different things that they know how to do and know how to do well. And it's a bit of a hallmark piece here from the smart home side of things at the show.
Have they priced these things yet, Tim?
They have not told us exactly what this is going to cost, but we know the range of refrigerators that they're building these into, and they start somewhere around the $3,000 to $4,000 range.
Oh,
so it's
man.
A pretty high-end fridge. But you know, the price of the components that they're building into these things really isn't that great, so I don't think it's actually going to add that much more on a comparable high-end refrigerator. So the premium over a normal fridge really shouldn't be that great. And you know, I'm actually optimistic that people are actually going to go for this because I know I would actually love to have this kind of technology in my fridge in my kitchen.
Oh, it's a great idea. It is. Tim Stevens is with us from CNET. He's an editor at large and a roadshow editor in chief. We talked about the connected cars. You're going to the Detroit Auto Show next week. What are we looking forward to there? What are they unveiling there that you're really excited about, Tim?
Probably the biggest unveiling that we know thus far will be the new Lincoln Continental. Lincoln's been basically trying to reinvent themselves, and we've seen a lot of great entries into the American luxury market as well. And Lincoln is really looking to raise the bar on there, and we've seen some early concepts of the car. It looks pretty great. So I think that'll be one of the most talked about shows, cars of the show. There are quite a few other debuts going on there, too. We're seeing some new things from Infiniti and some other great cars that I unfortunately can't talk about just yet for various reasons. But, okay. But it should be a very good show. I'm really looking forward to it.
In covering the Consumer Electronics Show for 10 years, can you think back to like the first or one of the first electronic shows that you covered and the thing that blew your mind that is now completely, you know, gone in terms of in terms of technology?
Something called a Pico projector, which were these tiny little projectors that were basically going to be built into everybody's smartphone. So basically, you could be sitting on the plane, and instead of having to deal with a tiny little screen, you could just project a movie out of the back of the seat in front of you, something like that. There were little credit card-sized projectors that about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, they were really hot. They were everywhere. There were smartphones with them built in, tablets with those built in. They were all over the place. And now you can't really find them anywhere, unfortunately.
Little projectors. That sounds like a fantastic idea. And so that was actually a hot
the next big thing.
That was actually a hot thing for a while.
It was a hot thing. Well, it was supposed to be the hot thing, but it never came to fruition. Really, nobody bought the things because nobody really wanted to be beaming their stuff all over the place. You know, if you don't have a white screen, it would be everywhere. It doesn't really work so well.
You know,
the manufacturers didn't really realize.
Andrea was just talking about how she still has her Palm Pilot. Tim, did you ever have a Palm Pilot?
I saved it, Tim.
No, you saved it. Yeah,
I don't still use. I don't even think it still works. But I can't get. You know, you either donate or properly recycle your old electronic items. I kept the Palm Pilot, the Razor, and the BlackBerry.
You remember,
I don't know why.
Did you have any of that stuff, Tim?
We'll need to see to appreciate. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think just about everybody who was into tech had those sorts of devices. Yeah, I still have my first smartphone, which was an HTC Windows mobile device, actually, with a little stylus on it, which, that thing is – it's funny how tiny that thing is now. It's only a couple of inches across, but it doesn't seem like this massive smartphone, but compared to all the ones we have now, it was this tiny little thing. But, I still have it.
Okay, good stuff. I'm not a tech guy, Tim. I'm only on my third cell phone ever. That's how far behind I am. But
I've had three this year, I think.
I've had three this year. I know everybody has had. I've had three. That was 2 months for me. But I did get a Samsung S6, so I did get a good one. So
that's a great choice. Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely one of the top smartphones out there right now.
All right. Okay, Tim, a pleasure talking to you. CNET.com, editor-at-large, and check out Roadshow. And again, when does the Roadshow portion of the website kick off?
We're kicking off Roadshow this upcoming weekend, so check out theroadshow.com.
Theroadshow.com. All right, Tim, have fun out there in Vegas, okay?
Thanks very much. I will.
Absolutely. There you go.